Hey, you're now loaded up for Think Rank with David Barry, the think tank for Thinking Rank. If it's on your mind, it's probably on his mic. So join Rank. We're all in this one together. Now here's your host, the reality of Rank, the bull god himself, David Barry.
All right, guys, here we go. I'm David Barry. This is Think Rank, episode 98. I don't know what we're going to do for our 100th episode, but we're looking forward to it. I know that. I'm joined tonight with my old friend, Marty Bird. A lot of y'all know him as a bull rope maker, saddle maker, bull rider. Me and Marty met, 85, I think, at Lane Frost Bull Riding School.
Yeah.
That's where we started.
There in a picture has been circulating for the last couple of weeks. People show it to me all the time.
It's out there, that's for sure. And obviously, kind of hitting on that, Marty, you knew Lane way before I did. I met Lane that day.
Oh, yeah. I guess I met him in probably 79, something like that. And he was always a really good bull rider.
Yeah. Now, was this in kindergarten in 79 or...?
We were watching Sesame Street. No, it wasn't kindergarten. He was, I guess I would have been probably a sophomore and he was a freshman, I think, something like that.
Okay.
I think it was either 79 or 80. But
okay.
That's when we met.
At the youth rodeos around there, around home?
Youth rodeos. And he went to a pawn shop there in my hometown and bought some stuff there because he had left his at a rodeo or something. And I'd always give him heck, telling him that was my stuff. I wasn't going to get on.
So, tell me a little bit about being around Lane at a young age like that, his age and your age. Was he, and obviously as you and I become to know him, winning the world and becoming Lane Frost, I guess. But yeah. was he always Lane Frost, or did he become a Lane Frost?
No, he was kind of always a guy that everybody wanted to be around, and. I mean, you knew he was a good rider because everybody else, when they were riding, nobody really paid attention. But if Lane was going to ride one, there was a bull called 24 Pooty Cat, and I seen him get on him there at Colgate, and the bull had never been ridden. And Lane hadn't lived in Oklahoma but maybe a year at the most.
Okay.
And when it come his turn to ride, everybody just stopped and they watched because this guy, even though he's just a snotty-nosed 15-year-old kid, he's got a chance of riding him.
They knew that something was fixing to happen.
Yeah. He was always a really good rider and had the charisma. People wanted to be around him.
So he was always the Lane Frosty.
Oh yeah.
What did when Lane get bucked off? Was he disappointed? Did he get mad?
He might be mad. I don't know if he's mad or I guess it would be disappointed. But he most of the time he wouldn't let it show because he knew that tickets had to be sold to be able to have the sport, and they didn't show up to watch somebody get mad and kick the chutes and throw their bull rope and stuff.
It wasn't about him.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, so let me move into kind of what we're doing tonight. Is I wanted to invite you in to do a podcast with me because you're a wealth of knowledge. One of my favorite traveling partners, if not my favorite traveling partner. We filled our permits together. I think I rode probably the best bulls and bull riding when we was riding bulls. I mean, I was in my comfort zone. Everything was just, you know, the stars were lined up perfect. We had fun. It was, you know, have fun rodeoing, but when it come to the bull riding event, we were there to win, you know. It was good stuff. But I wanted to invite you in because I wanted to visit with you about your knowledge with the bull riding. But the bull rope, you made my bull rope. I think you've mentioned to me you've made 400 ropes in a year before. 13 guys at the NFR out of 15 are riding with your bull rope. I mean, you had it going on. Obviously, you know, you've retired from braiding ropes. You don't make bull ropes no more. But the knowledge that you have, I wanted to talk to you about that because now You know, when we was going, there was just that American bull rope. Now there's the Brazilian rope and things like that. And then you've kind of done some stuff for your own rope, bringing up the fact that you've, when, you know, I put it out there the other day that you made the circuit finals in 87, your first one, and then you come back, I think it's 25 years later,
yeah,
to the circuit finals again, qualified. Yeah. That's a feat in itself.
Yeah, it's pretty long stretch in between.
Yeah.
I was just resting.
Right. Well, it is unheard of in the bull riding event, because that's just something that's a major accomplishment, and I tip my hat to you for that, because that's something that not everybody would be able to accomplish. I know you was telling me the story, and I'd like to hear it again, but what made you start riding bulls again?
I guess what made me start riding again was I was 48 years old. And they were going to have a bull riding school down close to my house there at Ken Lance Sports Arena. And Matt Austin was going to teach. And they asked me if I'd come down there and help also. So I did. And I got there. It was like a three-day school. I think it was a three-day. No, it was just a two-day, I think. Anyhow, the kids, we were trying to tell them what to do. Don't get a hump in your back. Keep your back straight. Keep weight on your legs and all this stuff.
Keep your feet down, your hands shut.
And that's it. And don't let go.
Don't let go.
But those kids, they just weren't getting it. There was one or two guys there that could ride, but the rest of them, they just weren't getting it. They wouldn't get the concept of it.
Right.
So the last day of the school, I told them, I said, okay, guys, I hadn't been on a bull in ever how many years it was since 1991, and told him, I said, I'm going to get on a bull. I said, I don't know what it's going to look like 5 seconds into the ride, but that first jump is going to look perfect. So be sure and watch that first jump.
Yes,
this is
that's
a critical
where we're
part.
At. Yes.
So Chad Raymer ran a bull in for me. I told him to make sure he didn't have no ivory on his head. So he ran a little white muley in there, and I got on him and rode him probably about 6 seconds. And I thought, man, that felt really good. So I was a little bit overweight, not bad. I've always been kind of thin, but anyhow, I decided, you know, I'm gonna get back on and or get in shape and then get on some bulls and just see how it goes. So
right.
Just kind of went from there. And
you told me the story, one of the stories when that kind of determined you cracking back out and gone was you and your daughter was riding horses.
Oh yeah, that was kind of I had been on. I think I'd only been on that one bull, and we were riding some horses. Was taking them down to a plowed field on my neighbor's and to exercise them and just keep them in shape. She was doing a little barrel racing at the time. So we was riding down through there, and I asked her, I said, what do you think about me getting on some more bulls? And she said, well, it's better to get on them at 48 than it would be 68. If you want to ride some more, go for it. And so we were riding down the bar ditch to go to that plowed field. And I told her, I said, well, I tell you what, it was in the month of May, and the clover and stuff was just coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had stopped our horses, and I said, if I'm supposed to ride some more, I'll find a four-leaf clover. And we were sitting still on our horses, and I looked down, straight down, and there was a four-leaf clover. So I thought, oh, crap.
Uh-oh.
Me and my mouth got me in trouble again. So I can't let my daughter down. I've got to get on. So, yeah, that was one of the deals with. But little weird things like that happen to me all the time, seems like.
Your bull riding career, when did you finally, when was your last bull that you got on?
My last bull I got on was at Paul's Valley in 2014. I'd never carried an IPRA card, so I was going to try to make their finals.
Okay.
That year. After the, because I'd rode in some other associations, but I'd never had an IPRA card, so I went to three or four rodeos there, and then I was at Paul's Valley and had a bull that really had a lot of rare to him. And I was riding him, and all of a sudden he went to jumping backwards at me. He jumped backwards about two jumps and then lunged forward and jerked the rope out of my hand and kind of done a monkey flip off of him. Well, when I did, my spur hung, and I was doing the death drag by my leg. And he, of course, I had a vest on and the helmet, but it broke my nose and tore up my leg pretty bad. And
yeah,
after that I was on the operating table getting my leg worked on. So I thought, well, can't ride a bull, but I still want to dance. So I better quit right here.
Right. Okay.
Wow. So
yeah,
that's when I decided that was the last one.
Right on. How old was you when you started riding bulls?
Gosh, I was probably third grade, or what? How old that is, but yeah. eight wow. years old, something yeah. like that.
Okay.
We had a little bucking chute at the house, and we'd pull in front of the roping chutes, and we'd get through rope, and we'd run them in there and ride them.
Yeah. Right? Yes. So let me talk about moving forward from our bull riding, which you took from, and I'm assuming you did, from when you started braiding ropes, your bull riding knowledge and information that you had gained from riding them, and kind of brought it into the rope making. But before we get too far into it, who taught you or how did you learn to braid ropes? And I ask you this because I remember when we're going to rodeos, you're lacing handles. I'm driving and you're over lacing a handle.
Yeah.
Or we get to the rodeo and I'm over rosin my rope and you're braiding a rope. Yeah. You know?
I guess I started, one reason I started making bull ropes is when I was probably fourth grade, I needed a bull rope and I didn't have one. Well, my dad was fighting bulls at Ardmore at the world's largest bull riding in October. And a guy broke his bull rope. And back then, grass ropes was about all you saw. Well, he broke his bull rope and he wadded it up and threw it in the trash can back there in the back. And I thought, this is my opportunity right here. So I went and got the rope out of the trash can, went and put it in my car or in our car. And that Sunday afternoon, I started taking it apart to see how that one was made. And in the fourth grade, I started making bull ropes. Made me a bull rope, made my brother a bull rope, then I'd make a friend a bull rope.
That's just really cool.
So, and probably when I was probably fifth or sixth grade, I was making bull ropes and getting paid for it. So I seen how that one was made and just tried to get better at every time.
Let me ask you this. So, because I remember, and I don't know if I get a traveling partner discount or not back then, but it seemed like I was paying $60 or $75 for a rope. Is that right? Back in
it was about
80s, late 80s.
$60 and all the Chico sticks I'd eat. Because I'd be pretty hungry.
When you quit braiding, what was your what was your cost for a guy?
Oh, when I quit braiding, it's probably they were still only like $250.
Okay,
so not that much.
No. For the torture on your fingers. I mean, that's why you retired. I mean, is it? Tell me about that. I mean, it wasn't that you probably wanted to quit. You just kind of had to, though.
Yeah, I'd also growing up through grade school and high school, I'd do some leather work and all. And it got there, I was making so many bull ropes, my hands would get to hurting. And when we'd have dinner the night before, I'd tell my wife, don't do the dishes. I need to do them in the morning so the warm water will help limber up my hands so I can braid all day.
Wow.
So
wow.
They just got to hurting, and I decided I need to. Another occupation.
Yeah. So. And you
started doing saddle work.
You had your saddle. What was the saddle shop in Ada that you worked at when we was running?
I worked with a guy there part-time. I'd do his repairs and stuff like that on stuff people would bring in. His name was Junior Grissom. It was Grissom Saddle Shop.
That's right. That's
a lot
right.
of times that was the old headquarters where we'd meet.
Yeah, yeah.
Gather up and head out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Can I read a comment to you guys?
You bet, yeah.
Mr. Irvin Williams says, I'm proud to know Marty. I miss going to his house so he can make me a bull rope. Keep up the good job, Mr. David.
Oh, yeah. I made Irvin a lot of ropes. He's a good guy.
Irvin's watching tonight.
Yeah. Outstanding. So, yeah, Irvin sat right there where you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's gave me a story or two, and that was a great, great interview. Marty, tell me, you know, when you was making your ropes, what really, you know, you're probably making the same rope kind of over and over. What got you started doing some different stuff?
I started doing some different stuff because all the riders, we were all bull riders, but we didn't have the same size hand, didn't like the same feel in your hand. Just like today, there's 500 different pistols you can shoot because everybody don't like the same one.
Okay.
So I started braiding some of them with a soft tail, some wanted a tighter tail, some wanted a cup to it so it would fold over the hand hold. And then one day I was outside doing some weed eating, and back in the 70s, a guy named Jim Ward used to make a lot of ropes, and he'd put a cable in the handhold.
Right.
And those things that, and the cable that he had put in there was basically just a clothesline wire is what it was, but it would make the handle really hard. So I was doing some weed eating out in the yard, and my weed eater had got plugged up there, and I was trying to pull the cord out, and it just clicked on me. I thought, this needs to be in the handle because it's not going to break. It's going to be easy on your hand.
Okay.
You know, the rider's hand. So I started putting the weed eater cord down the sides of the handhold, and it made a difference in how people, they didn't jerk the calluses off their palm of their hand and everything like that. It kept that handhold feeling consistent from ride one to ride 100.
Wow. How many bull rides can a guy put on a rope if it's braided right?
You could ride 2 or 3 years with one if it's braided right. But I know there was guys like you and Mark Kane and Aaron Seamus and Norman Curry, those guys, they wanted a new rope like every 25, 30 bulls.
Well, the ropes were awesome. I mean, just Marty Bird ropes were the way to go, so... Marty, what you talk about the guys you've braided for, and I mentioned a minute ago you made 12, 13 ropes for out of the 15 guys at the, I think it was the 93 NFR. How particular does a guy get or them guys get at that level with a rope? I mean,
they're pretty particular, but if... Once I figured out what, say, Michael Gaffney wanted, he'd just call me up. He wouldn't say, you have to do this. He said, make me another one just like that one.
Okay.
And I had all the notes wrote down on it.
Yeah.
And building my bull rope, where if Irvin called and said, I need another rope.
Yeah.
And Irvin kind of rode with a little smaller rope. But there was guys like Norman Curry. He liked a big old, big fat rope in his hand.
Okay.
He liked a handful.
Yeah, yeah.
But just depending on what the person liked. But I had all the notes down on it, so they didn't have to tell me each time how to do it.
Right. Okay. So you kept notes from when they first contacted you and wanting a rope.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Speaking of Mark Kane, you ever run across him?
I haven't seen Mark Kane in, gosh, years. Last time I seen him was probably 15 years ago. I didn't hear nobody pull into the house. I was at home by myself, and I heard a knock on the door, and I looked at the back door, and it was Mark Kane. He'd walked across the pasture. He'd run out of gas. So I thought, dang, Mark, you quit riding. You already had gas money. But anyhow, I had to take him to go get some gas for his car and get him back on the road.
There it is. Holly, what you thinking?
It's just history. I mean, you starting at fourth grade, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the Tiger Wood of bull ropes, if that makes sense, you know, without saying it. I mean, you just, to go and take a rope out of the trash and say, I want to see how that works. The people I respect the most riding horses and had accomplished the most in the world would watch somebody do something and ride up to them and say, how did you get that horse to do that? And you know they love what they were doing and had a passion for it and an eye for it. That's just like... picking that rope up out of the trash, that's the coolest thing ever to me.
And I want to come off the rope for just a minute and we'll come back to it, but you also make saddles.
Yeah.
And you're very well known with your saddles. And Holly can probably speak more about that, and I'll probably let you say something, because I didn't know that you was making saddles, and Holly got together and she got to tell me that she found a Marty Bird used saddle. I said, Marty Bird used saddle? And it was like a lot of money for the used saddle.
Yeah.
10 years ago it was $2,500.
I mean, so the detail, the pride you take in the product, whether it was a bull rope, a saddle, and even your bull riding, you took pride in what you put out there.
Yeah, I figured if I'm going to do something, I want to try to do it to where people, if it's a saddle, and I have people tell me this quite often, if it's a saddle I built, like there was a guy at the Bob Feist a few weeks ago that had a new saddle he'd just bought from me, and a guy from Alabama that he didn't know seen it all the way across the arena at the Lazy E and come riding over there and said, how did you get that Marty Bird saddle? And he said, well, I just told him I wanted one when he got a couple built up.
I wrote him a check.
He said, well, he's not making custom saddles anymore, is he? He said, no, but if you're at the right place, the right time, you can get one. And he said, man, everybody in here would like to have one of those. But that guy from Alabama, he picked it out across the arena at the Lazy E, and he knew it was my work. And I just always, kind of the same way with the bull rope, people knew if it was one of my bull ropes just by the way it looked.
Probably one of the biggest things I've gotten from you, besides just being a great friend to me, and was you're very humbled. You're with just that story in itself, your ropes, the people you've made ropes for, the history of bull riders you've made bull ropes for, and then the saddle making that you've done. You're very humbled about. It's, you know, you don't thump your chest about it. You're like, you kind of, what would be the word, Holly, that I'm looking for? I mean, humbled is one, but.
Marty doesn't seek recognition.
The work speaks for itself, the results, the, yeah. But anyway, I just think that's awesome that you're able to create a saddle or a bull rope and get that kind of recognition for it, and you're like, not like, yeah, it's.
He doesn't have to tell people about it because they know about it, and that's kind of like what you tell some of the guys coming up. You know, you won't have to tell them. You won't have to put all your stuff on social media and say, "Look how great I am." If you're that great, they'll know it. They'll find out about you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that's the coolest thing about Marty's riding, even because had he said anything or had anybody had any idea. It'd have been all over the sports news. It'd all been all over Humps and Horns that 25 years later, which is unheard of, a guy goes back, not just wins a senior pro deal, but makes the
pro rodeo circuit
finals.
That's right.
That's off the charts
and
to me.
Of 25 years of the breeding programs continually gotten better and better and better. And
the bulls got back. Ranker, mm-hmm. Marty got older, and Marty sharpens iron, and he did it.
Yeah. That's just pretty. You want to add to that?
I plowed up a lot of ground. I mean, I got on bulls like Gray Squirrel, Habanero, Sasquatch, Crooked Mile. I got on some, and a bull I got on at the circuit finals, a bull called Alligator Chomp that went to NFR. I think they were 91. J.W. Harris, I think, rode him on 91 points on him that year. But I got on some real buckers. In fact, but I would enter Mesquite pretty much every week because it was close, and they got to announcing me there because that was in 2012, so I would have been, well, that was the year I made it, so I'd have been 49, and they got to announcing me as the AARP cowboy. And the thing about it was the people in the stands, they loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, they would, or if I bucked off and ate dirt or whatever, they would stand. They loved it that some old guy would still,
do they still
give it a shot.
Do they still buck Spotted Favorite Mesquite?
Nah, I kind of broke his heart, I think. when I didn't let him hook me. He wanted to. I said, no, no, no. Not me. He was mean.
Oh, man, wasn't he, though?
I hung up to him one time.
Why would you want to do that for?
Of all bulls to hang up to, why did I hang up to Spotted Peter?
No, right?
But he didn't get me, though.
I got on him once, and he did get me. Yeah. And but anyway, yeah. And I showed up, and I rode him, but he did get me. What's the as you know, we used to go to Mesquite quite a bit, but. We had a ball rodeo, and I really enjoyed that time in my life and looking back at it, and didn't realize, you know, really we kind of rode bulls in a really cool time. Really, you know, you know, I mean, in my opinion, I mean, of course, you crack back out 25 years later, and there's a lot of cool guys in too, you know, so, but, you know, let me get back into this bull rope deal, because that's something I think I want to ask you is, one, I know you brought a bull rope to show me or to show everybody that you rode with.
Yeah.
The question I have for you right now is what's your opinion from the American rope to the Brazilian rope. Why is there a difference, and what's your opinion on them?
I think I've rode with both. When you and I traveled together, I rode the American bull rope because that's just what we had. And then, of course, Adriano comes over, and people think he's putting his rope on backwards. In fact, putting the rope on backwards, let me go to a story about Lane on this deal.
Okay.
At Las Vegas, at the NFR, I was out there, and I stayed in the room with Lane and Kelly. Well, he had a Red Rock drawn, and we was talking about him, how he always turns away from everybody's hand, turns away from everybody's hand. He won't never spin into your hand. And Lane asked me, he said, what would you do? And I thought, well, why are you asking me? I don't have a back number on. but he thought enough to ask me. I said, I'll tell you what I would do. I said, it sounds stupid, but I'd put my bull rope on him backwards. And he said, what?
And when was this? This was
86? I think it was 86.
Okay. When he got on? Yeah.
85 or 86,
yeah.
Something like
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah.
But anyhow, he said, why would you put your bull rope on him backwards? I said, because he knows when his hide is rolling under his, from elbow to elbow under him, he knows which side that hide's rolling on, and he's turning away from it. So that bull is that smart. He's turning away from it. And he said, man, if it was anywhere else besides here, I'd put it on him backwards. He said, it makes sense to him, but I ain't going to put it on him backwards. He said,
I'm just going to take a shot at it.
Yeah, I'm going to take a whack at it just the way I go with it.
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, that was a story about that. But,
that's awesome.
But the Brazilian rope, I just think it's better because the way you pull it, and I know they talk, I see it on TV and stuff, they talk about the hand being down on the side. But the hand being down on the side, they don't ever think about that hide on that bull. Not every bull's real loose-hided, but a lot of bulls from elbow down here by where your foot would be, under the bull to the other elbow, that hide will roll as you're pulling that rope. So that hide being, your hand being down on the side, that hide is rolling. If I'm right-handed, the hide is rolling this direction. First jump out of the chute, it's going to straighten up and go this way. Or you can take it away. I think Renato used to do it. He would, and I would do that when I rode in my later years. I would take that first deal away from it, and it'd be set, and it'd stay there.
Okay. So you prefer a Brazilian rope over the American rope?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you think, okay, let me ask you this then. Why do they get a rap, bad rap for pulling a rope so tight?
They don't pull it any tighter than anybody else. What happens is they can pull it tighter. They actually can, but I don't know if anybody showed them how to pull it tighter. I can show them how to pull it tighter than what they pull it now, but I'd be floating in the Mississippi River by stop contractors. But when that rope, if I could, you want me to get that rope up?
Yes, illustrate? Yes, okay. Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up. This is a,
let me hold this.
A deal that...
Make sure he can.
He's on screen now.
He's got his. He's back in here. I got the rope up here.
You're in.
I thought you was gonna wear your chaps too.
Oh, you got time to put them? As this rope's being pulled,
can he see? Does that look all right?
Everything's dead center.
As this rope's being pulled, the Brazilian rope, and if you watch, this is coming up like so.
This side, move it over a little bit. There you go.
As this Brazilian rope is being pulled, this side is coming up on the bull side. Well, once it gets to right a point, a certain point here, the guy standing here cannot pull it any tighter. If he handed this tail to a guy on the other side, he could get that much more pull out of it. But they're not really pulling the rope any tighter than the American.
Okay.
It's just the Brazilian rope. This is the Brazilian I rode with when I was in my 40s and 50s.
No, well,
but there's not as much slack here. They got a lot of slack in theirs.
Yes.
But they're not really, they kind of get under their arm and pick up on it.
Yes.
But I didn't have to because I wanted the same feel that I had with American, but I like the Brazilian better.
You made this bull rope.
Yes.
Now, the bull ropes you made me, the handle come on down here.
Yes. We always thought we had to have like a 12-inch handle on them to come on down here.
Okay.
And you really... This part of the handle down here don't really do all that much anyhow.
No.
But the Brazilian deal, this here Brazilian, I like this little short hand hold. In fact, I made some for Jody Newberry and a few other guys, and but not a Brazilian, but an American like this.
Okay.
And I put a block on this side,
so that they could run their hand here, and then with an American style, then they had a lock on both sides of their hand. They had something to push against. I've seen guys, and happened to myself too, with American rope, your tail's pulled over here, and if you go to push across that bull's back, you had the chance of that your hand running down the hand hold.
Right.
But the way I made Newberries and them with a block down here, and they rode against this side, but it was a little short handle.
Okay.
With a block on this side.
Yes.
And then the tail comes around here. Well, they've got something to push into now.
Right
there. And he said, and Jody said, man, I wish I'd have known that years ago.
Right.
Because it made a big difference.
Well, because it used to come way down here. Yeah. And that would even break down on us, you know. Wow. So, and you've made this rope, which I know, I don't know, but you got a sewing machine.
Yeah.
But you've made this rope that you could put it back to American, too, if you wanted to.
Yes. I made this when I wanted to try the Brazilian rope. I thought, well, I'm going to make it so that I can switch it. If I don't like the Brazilian, I can switch it to an American. So I do have it where you take the tail off here and put it over here and take this loop and put it on this side.
Okay.
And have a regular American rope.
Right.
But I left it like that because I like the way it felt.
Does anybody have any questions for Marty while I got him dialed in on this bull rope making deal?
Well, one comment, though. Gregory McKinley says, I remember when you made Lenny Clements that rope look like a bareback rigging because of his wrist.
He said, yes.
Best bull rope maker ever.
Yeah. I remember making Leonard that rope. It was a real big offset. He got on a bull and he broke his right arm. So I made him two ropes, and then he said, make me a left-handed rope. He's going to ride left-handed. So his right arm still hadn't healed up yet, and he got on a bull left-handed and broke his left arm. So he was kind of in a bind there for a while.
Well, if anybody has a question for Marty on bull rope making, you know, shoot it in comments, and Holly will shoot it to us. Marty, with the bull rope now, I'm really kind of digging this right here. Is that popular, or is that...
No, because it scares everybody. They think it looks like they're going to hang up in it, and they won't.
Right.
They're not going to hang up in that.
Right.
Well, I guess you can, but you got to work at it pretty hard. But it's the way to go.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you're retired from making bull ropes, are you going to train an apprentice to do what you did?
To make bull ropes? I don't know. I've trained a couple of other people, but I don't know if they're still doing it or not. I don't know. But somebody ought to, because this rope here has weed eater cord in it, too.
Okay. Let me ask you about the pad, Marty. Mm-hmm. And again, this is back in the day, but you always just put a sheep skin on mine.
Yeah.
Leather bottom sheep. Tell me about the pad and what your, I mean, I know you got a little bit different going on right here. And mm-hmm. Tell me about how you.
Yeah, back in the day, we had sheepskin from doing repairs on saddles and stuff there at that shop. So I put a sheepskin pad on them. And the sheepskin, after it's compacted down, it didn't really offer much as far as your knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
So the last few ropes I made, I'd use this belting here and sew this pad to it. But this right here is so that it doesn't get your hand sore in there, rip any callus off or anything there when you go to get off and your hand coming out of
it. Right.
But it's, and if you're, the rope being in a Brazilian style, when it pulls, if there's any pull on it, it's going this way.
Right.
So it kind of cushions it into there.
You tell me, we were talking about the shape of a bull.
Right.
And that you kind of went from that with your braiding to the shape of the bull.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, or tell
us. The shape of that bull, that bull's not round like a barrel, like this. He's more flat on the sides and then comes up here and he's got a little crown at the top, like so. You look at any kind of bucking machine or whatever, well, they try to build them to look like a bull, and they're not just round. They've got a shape like a bull's back and underneath also. And if you're riding an American-style rope, a little more slack, depending on where you put your hand on that bull's back, and that depends on how long your arms are. If you're really long arms, you might feel better with it down on the side a little bit. But if you're on the crown part of that bull's back, say this is the bull's backbone, it's right here. I've got my hand in it. Well, if I'm up on the crown, I need a little more slack up here because it's going to break down and go that away.
Okay.
If I'm down flat on this, where the bull's side starts to get flat,
yes,
it's not going to pull down.
Right.
And that's why people think they're pulling the rope so high, so hard
or yeah, and tight. Yeah.
And they're really not.
Yeah.
But it does appear that they're pulling it tight.
I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not going to need as much slack there. In fact, yeah. I think if some of those Brazilians that, I mean, they all ride really good anyhow, but if they tried to, with less slack like that, they would like it. But
okay.
I think it's one of those deals where, no, we brought the rope over here from, you know, over in Brazil, and this is the way we do it, so this way we're going to stick with it.
So if you was going to run your hand on down the side a little bit farther, you wouldn't have as much gap right here.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd want about right there. That's not even 2 fingers.
Yeah.
Back when you rode, it was always 3 fingers slack.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Stannard, he always wanted 5. I always thought, man, that's a lot of slack, but he's the guy that rode Mr. T, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
We've got another question here. Chad Webb's asking, does getting off away from your hand with those Brazilian ropes have a lesser chance of a hang-up?
Yeah, you want to jump off. You want to jump off on the side you pull your bull rope on. The old adage was always get off into your hand. That's don't. Get off on the side that you pull your bull rope from. So getting off away from your hand, no, you're not going to hang up as much. Now, you can if you ever do hang up, if you buck off to the right. If I'm right-handed and I buck off to the right and you hang up, you're going to hang up belly with your belly facing up.
Now, does it make a difference, Brazilian or American, on that?
American, your back is facing to the sky if you hang up.
Right. Marty, with that said, how hard was it to redevelop which way to get off?
It was tough. In fact, this bull rope right here.
I mean, that'd be spooky for me to think about getting off away from my hand.
Away from your hand, yeah. But I took, because I always rode with American rope back in the, when I first rode all the way till 91. So I was right-handed, so you always knew just reach down with your free hand right there by your crotch and the tail's going to be right there. But with this, I wasn't for sure. I was afraid that I'd reach across to get my wrap when I stayed on my first one. I was afraid I was going to reach across and then wind up doing a monkey flip out through there and stomp me or something. So I took, if you can see this, I took this rope and I made it to where after I took my wrap, got it in there, I got Velcro sewed right here and on this tail. It sticks right there. It don't interfere with anything. But I knew by doing that, I could reach and get my wrap just like an American rope.
Like
it was going to be there. Right there.
Okay.
And I can get off.
But getting off away from your hand, the first time you had to do that, was that just weird?
Yeah, it was a little weird. But, I mean, it's just after you do it 4 or 5 times, just get on. The best way I'd say, if you're going to try a Brazilian rope, when you get on 4 or 5 bulls, it's just easy to ride and a lot of timing. And just that way you're not just getting slung out of there. Get the feel of after 4 or 5, it's not that big a deal.
Okay.
Yeah. And another thing I was going to tell you about the Brazilian deal. I looked at the Brazilian reason I wanted to make me one of these when I started back riding again, is I looked at this rope as like someone who was a rock climber. If that bull's back is here and my hand is going to be here, and say I'm a rock climber and I'm up here on top of this rock and I've got a rope down here and I got to pull my buddy up here and get him on top of the rock with me.
Okay.
This is the rope I'm using to pull him on top of the rock. I get about halfway up and I'm starting to give out. Well, I need to do something to hold him so I can pull him the rest of the way up. So I break it over this rock right there.
Okay.
And I can stand there and hold him all day long.
Right. Yeah. Right.
If it's an American and you're pulling him up here.
Yeah.
And your hand's right here.
Yes.
You can't break it over the rock.
Yeah.
You got to stay there and let him go and find you a new traveling partner.
Okay. All right.
So it was that simple to me. If you can break that rope over that bull's back, pull it up, break it over his back, then go to your hand, that bull has no pressure on your hand. It
gives you a leverage point.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
I just love it that, I mean, I don't know Jack T's about bull ropes, but you're always innovating, like the Velcro and the things like that. But even like, I mean, not to take away from the bull rope deal, but when you showed up here with the bucking machine.
You still got that?
Zero-turn mower. That was impressive.
So I give Marty a bucking machine, and he had a zero-turn lawnmower and put them two and two together.
Yeah. And it was impressive.
It was awesome.
It was impressive. Yeah.
I'd have Brennan Eldred and Garrett Tribble. He'd come over and ride it some.
Garrett may be listening.
Garrett's watching.
Yeah.
Is he watching?
Yeah.
He's been on the bucking machine. And Trevor Kastner, he'd come back from an injury. He'd come over and ride it to see if he was ready to get back on, see if he was ready to enter. But several guys come by there and got on it.
Does it depend on who's driving, if they're ready to enter or not?
The guy that works for me that drives it, he's really good at it. I mean, he starts it out just like he's raring out. I wasn't that good at running it when I brought it here. But he starts it out with bucket on my driveway, and he rares, first jump out's a rare.
Yeah.
And he'd go either way right in the gate, or he'd go two or three, and he'd make it suck back, step forward, everything. It felt like a real bull.
That's so awesome.
Why did you do it on the rocks in your driveway?
Make you try hard. It was actually asphalt, black asphalt.
Man up.
H.D. Coleman was riding it one day, and I was running it. Ralph had already gone home, and I was running it. And the thing about it is, when Ralph would run it, I'd tell him, if I get a little out of shape, just slack up a little bit and let me get some muscle memory to know that I can get back and what I have to do to get back. Well, H.D. was on it, and I seen him tip just a little bit, and I was fixing to slack up on it, and he bailed out. He jumped off of it and rolled out across the yard.
He wasn't going to take a chance on your judgment. No.
Heck yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. So the bull ropes, you quit braiding because your hands, your fingers, you had to retire from that. And I know there's a lot of people that hated that. I mean, there's some young guys right now that are trying to reach out to you, would love to reach out to you, you know, about their ropes. I know people would love for you to make their rope, but and I don't endorse anybody or anything and all, but because you don't do it no more, who, in your opinion, if I called you and said, Marty, I need a bull rope, who would you feel like comfortable?
I would probably say to get a hold of Marcelo Nunez. It's Renato's brother.
Okay.
And I've seen some of his stuff, and does good.
And will he braid American ropes too?
I think so. I think he'll braid American. I have never seen an American, but I've seen his Brazilian ropes. And one thing I would think, though, is Marcelo would put a piece of balsa wood right in here to keep that really, really hard. But I think that's hard enough. I want this part of my hand against the bull's back.
Yes.
Because of the way I rode.
What's the advice that you would give a young bull rider or a parent wanting to order a bull rope from a bull rope maker, no matter who it was? What's some good questions that I could, or not questions, what's some good things that I could tell you as a rope maker to help you make me as close as you can to what I'm needing?
Probably I would say knowing what size glove you wear and how you want things. Do you want your fingers to be all the way closed to your palm once you got the rope, three layers of that rope in your hand, or do you like it to where it's a handful, a little bit of gap there, just the feel that you like in your hand?
Okay.
And that's what I would go by. And I would go by different coins. Like this here, I would call this a dime size tail. Some people was a 25-cent piece tail. Some was a 50-cent piece tail.
Which is that a plat?
Different width. A 7 plat, this is called a fancy 7 on this tail. It's going to be flat on both sides, but a 5 plat will have a little cup to it, and it'll lay over the top of that handle, just kind of cup over it. And
okay.
Like stacking spoons in the...
I see, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So you would tell them how wide you want your rope, that by like a dime or nickel or...
Yeah, that quarter. Way everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Not just say, I want the same width Uncle Bob rode with back in the 40s.
Right.
Nobody knows what Uncle Bob rode.
Yeah, yeah. I like when you was making mine, the tail was softer.
Yeah.
And I, because I just could squeeze it, you know. And I wanted my fingers to shut, you know. Mm-hmm. I like that. But everybody's different. Everybody's different. Oh, yeah. So I can only imagine how hard it would be to please somebody to make them a rope, you know, that knows what they're wanting. They know what they want to feel. Mm-hmm. So, What's
a lot of first time guys I would make ropes for, they would just tell me, I want one like Brent Thurman's.
Yeah.
So I'd go back and see what Brent Thurman's was. They'd say Brent let them get on a couple of bulls with it, and that's what they want.
That's what they want.
Like that. So
right. Yeah.
I'd duplicate it and
get
it to them.
We did have one question that says, is he out of Tulsa? And I think they're talking about the other man you're speaking of that makes the bull ropes.
Marcelo, he did live down around around Dallas, I think.
Okay. You just have to hunt him up online, huh?
Yeah, Marcelo Nunez. And there was another guy, and I don't know if he still makes them. He was out of New Mexico, I believe. His last name was Idleman. I've seen some of his stuff, and he's really good-looking bull ropes. But I don't know his first name. His name was Idleman.
Yeah. So with that said, I mean, a bull rope maker, whoever they choose to get a rope from, what's the – and again, it goes back to individual feeling, but
– John Edelman.
Is it John Edelman? John. Edelman or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, there it is. What? So for a young rider, they want to get a rope. What's the best advice you could give a young rider? What kind of a rope would they get if they – you know, obviously you like the Brazilian rope. But one, if they're just getting started, would you recommend start with that, you know, Brazilian rope or American rope, or try them both? Or
I'd try them both. I would find, usually if you're wanting to ride bulls, you've went somewhere and seen people ride bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Go over there and you're a young guy, go talk to that person and say, do you have an old rope that I could use, rent from you or whatever, to see if I like it?
Great advice.
And that way you're not just buying a four-wheel drive when you live in
Texas. That's really great advice. Yeah. That's really great advice. What about the size of the handle, Marty? I know I'm intrigued with that. I'm interested in that.
If more people would use that right there, they'd say, because it used to, like I said, the handles was 12 inches long.
Yes.
Well, Jerry LaValle back in the day, you remember him, mm-hmm. Jerry LaValle.
Yeah.
But he was one of the first guys that had me to make him a 10-inch handle. And then after that, seemed like a lot of bull rope makers were making 10-inch handles. But this one here, I don't think it's just barely wide enough for my hand, especially if I get a glove on.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say for the people, like when we're going to edit it and put it out there for the audio part that aren't seeing this, what's the difference in this? It's the length of
the length of that handle is really short. And people look at it and it looks scary, but you're not going to hang up in it no more often than you would a regular.
So what is that width on that one? A length?
I think it's 6.
Oh, wow.
But
okay.
It could be smaller because there's not – it's probably a 6 because there's not much room holding this side of your handle, on this side of the handle with a glove on.
Can everybody see that? I like that. I really like that. I really do. What's the best care when you're done riding for the night? What's the best care? How can I take care of my bull rope?
That all depends on if you stayed on. Usually, if we bucked off, you wad it up, go in there, and get out before anybody talks to you. But wire brush it off, take care of it. It's a tool. You got to have it.
Yeah.
You know, if you treat it like crap, you may pull it out of the rigging bag the next rodeo, and you think, man, I should have brushed this off. I got to ride again. I got the money bull here.
Right, yes.
And you didn't take care of your equipment. You want to take care of it. You just wire brush and keep them clean.
I agree. I always tried to take care of what I had because, you know, even back then, everything costs money. And, you know, this rope is something, that's how you make your living or that's how you get your points. And you definitely want to be able to take care of that the best you can. I know the girls sitting out here in the audience, they use an air hose, deal, and blow their stuff off and really get deep down cleaning out of it. But they do it after every ride, which they're, you know, as they come back to the ranch, you know. Any other questions or we move on?
No, just people saying, hey, Marty and Monty Peters.
Yeah.
Pork chop.
I got a story about David, a funny one from, he was talking about different deals at Fort Worth one time at the rodeo. I had a bull called Riff Raff. I think his number is 72 or something like that, a Neil Gaze. And you had a bull, 47, Dale Hall had him. He's a downhorn bull.
Yeah.
And
black ball face, yeah.
Anyhow, he rode him, and no, he didn't. He bucked you off, I think. Did he?
I don't remember. Probably.
I think he bucked him off, and he did buck. I mean, he honked it out of there. And after each performance, they'd post the sheets back there, what they marked the bull and all, in case somebody else coming and wants to see what the bull done and all. Well, they marked David's bull back then. They marked him a 22. They marked that bull a 22. And it's all in pencil. So I thought, this is really going to be funny. So you remember it now? I erased the two in the front and put a one. That he was a 12-point bull, and David bucked off of him. He said, man, wonder what they marked that bull. I said, I don't know. They usually post those sheets back there.
You changed the judging sheets.
Yeah, I changed the judging sheets on him.
He's a bull crap. That bull was more than
12 points?
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
But Jimmy Morris says, you guys are doing good. Y'all head up to Sonic and get you a chili cheese slushie and have them put it on my tab.
There it is. Jimmy Morris. So,
Foghorn.
Yeah. One of the things I remember, you remember when we was rodeoing, we'd go up to Kansas and following the prairie circuit around, but there was these two girls. And nicknamed them the sweethearts of the rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
Because they was at every performance we was at of the rodeos. It's like they had a sports news, or maybe they used to call them ProCom wanting to know when we was entered. But
I think that was the deal.
The sweethearts of the rodeo.
Maybe an aunt that worked there or something.
I wonder what they're doing now.
I don't know what they're doing, but it was kind of funny because we'd seen them at, like you said, we'd see them at every rodeo.
Every rodeo.
And finally we decided that, and this is just kind of what you done back in the day, we decided, you know, we need to start a fan base, and those two girls are going to be the first ones. And we wasn't trying to make them our girlfriends or nothing like that. We just go over and sit in the stands with them and talk to them before the rodeo. Maybe more people need to do that.
Yeah, it was awesome stuff. We had fun. We'd stop, and Marty never was a drinker, and I was just beginning. It was on my learner's permit. But I wasn't old enough yet, so I'd borrow Marty's ID to get in the bar, and then he would come in, and they wouldn't let him in because he didn't have his ID. I'm in there having a good time. Like, where's Marty at? He's supposed to be in here.
Sleeping in the car.
Oh, man. It was good stuff. We had a ball. Loved riding bulls with you. So, any girls, you got any questions with the bull ropes?
Besides, you're wanting a short handle now, aren't you?
I love that handle. That handle is awesome.
Yeah.
So, how would they, could they explain that to a rope maker?
They would probably have to show it to one.
Okay. Yeah. I really like that. I really think that's very interesting.
It's so small. I love that.
Yeah.
So, maybe we take pictures of it and put it on your website.
Yeah, I will.
Do that.
Just as a sample, I think it's important, not knowing obviously much about bull ropes, but that people know what they're asking for and why they're asking for it when they go do it, I would think.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, he said do this, so we're going to do that. But they don't know why they are or aren't doing it.
They've got a picture.
Visual. Yeah, no doubt. So you got a saddle shop, Meta, right now. You showed me this belt you made. Is that something you could make for others, or is that just...
We build a lot of belts, custom belts.
Yeah.
For people everywhere. I mean, the guy that works for me builds most of the belts, but this belt here that you have was a...
I can see a lot of mamas
wanting one of these.
Wanting one of these.
Yeah. This belt, this was my wife's belt, this chain link belt that she'd wear with dresses and... If we didn't go out somewhere or had a banquet to go to, she'd wear, it didn't have the buckle on it. It was just these chain links like this. Well, she passed away, and I decided, well, I'm not going to get rid of that belt because it's hers and it reminds me of her. So I added this, the leather to it, so I could put my trophy buckle on it and wear it out as one of my hippie belts. Every once in a while, I'll spin out and go a little hippie. And
crack out the bell bottoms?
Yeah, and...
I just think that's divine.
Is that not just outstanding?
Divinely cool.
I know there's some women, some girls watching this that have barrel racers to bull ride mamas. That's hold that up where they can kind of see that more, Marty.
See this.
And how that,
these chain links.
That's just rank.
And the leather part of it, it is an old pull strap off of the saddle that I just used.
Latigo.
Yeah,
there it
Latigo
is.
Pull strap.
How cool is that?
To look old and...
And it was Cindy. That's just like divinely cool right there.
This is my wife's belt.
I love it. Remember when she used to bake us
wear.
When she used to bake us cookies before we head out?
Yeah, we were dating, and she'd make us some cookies before we headed out on the trail to go to three or four rodeos on the weekend. And after about 3 weeks of it, David said, "Well, I don't know about this girlfriend of yours." Said, "We're going to have to start entering the bulldog instead of the bull riding." So we're eating all these cookies. We're going to get too big. But I think David's one of the ones that taught me into keeping her.
Yeah.
That was a good decision.
She was outstanding. Outstanding lady. School teacher.
That was all y'all knew her as.
That's a school teacher. Yeah. Yeah. I remember y'all first started dating. You said you had to stay after class. And I'm like, what? Until you got it right or something, you said. She kept me after school. Yeah. Yeah. No. She was a wonderful person. Yeah. Marty, is there any other questions? We'll wrap up a little bit here.
I think you've got pretty much all the questions covered. You know, you can give them a rundown on the handle afterwards. They just ask, just tuning in can get a rundown on the handle, and we can catch up with that afterwards or do a replay on it. Or if you got something you want to visit about now on it.
You got anything else you want to add to it?
No, not really.
Okay. So they're asking, some guys are just now coming on and they're interested in your handle. Yeah. And I'm really interested in this and don't plan on putting my hand in it because it'll take off. But I really am interested in the old way we used to have our ropes was it would come down to here, the handle would.
It was a 12-inch handle.
And quite frankly, not that I would ask questions because I didn't know enough to ask, but you put your hand there. Okay. And so I put my hand in there. Well, why do I need all this over here then? You know, it don't make sense. And as Marty's talking about, this worked perfect for him at 48, 49 years old, yeah, riding bulls in the Prairie Circuit Finals, PRCA.
Bulls at the highest level.
At the highest level, bull of the years. So with that said, and his knowledge as a bull rope maker's, you know, unquestionable, it makes sense to have it shorter, you know? I like that. I really do like that. So
yeah, it's...
The way it pulls, and
if they'll use them, they'll like them. And the reason why, used to, the hand holds, if you looked at, say, Lane Frost's rope that Jim Ward made, that hand hold was 14 inches long. And here's the reason why I think they used a 14-inch handle. There was a group of guys back in the 70s, early 70s there, that were masters at knowing how to set their rope for a knot hold. They would set that knot in the rope, and they would never move it. It'd stay in the same place every time. So with having a 14-inch hand hold, they may ride it here on one bull, and then they may ride it here in the middle on another bull and just keep rolling that rope around so that knot stays in the same spot.
Oh.
That's why they rode with such long handles. But Lane wasn't that didn't ride
he
with
didn't,
knots.
He didn't, yeah.
But there were some guys. Oh, there was a few guys that... I don't name their names, but I know if I ever caught one, it felt good. I wasn't kicking it loose. But anyhow, that was the deal behind the long handles.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, I love that. I think that's just great. If anybody, I know you ain't going to braid no more, but if anybody had a question, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but if anybody had a question, Marty, about a bull rope, what do you think, would you...
I'll answer whatever they want to ask me about it.
So get your pencil and paper out, and we're going to give Marty Bird's... No?
We're not going to give it. Yeah. You can text us. You can send us a message. We're not going to give his number out.
Okay. So if you're interested and have a question about bull ropes, again, he's not braiding, but if you have a question for the master, contact Holly or send us a Facebook message, and we'll share Marty's phone number.
Or if they're a bull rope maker and needs to ask me something, have them call me.
That's true. That is true. So, again...
If we give his number out right now, they're going to be calling trying to sell them septic tanks and Asian brides and everything else on Facebook.
Go ahead, give it out. Now she brought up that Asian bride deal.
Well, never mind. I stand corrected. No.
Well, contact us, and we'll share Marty's contact info. Even like the belt, if one of the ladies or a husband or boyfriend sees that and they want to get something like that for their wife, not that Marty would make that, but he can kind of give you an idea how he did that. I really like the Latigo.
That's just the coolest. It's such a combination. Everything in it.
This is an old Latigo here.
Really?
Cinch strap.
Yeah. Good stuff. I mean, it just, what an amazing person you are, Marty Bird.
Yeah, thank you.
And what an amazing person you are. And ever since we've got to know each other, you and we're still to this day friends and in touch with each other. And I, you know, to say, do I miss riding bulls and I miss, you know, traveling with you and eating them chocolate chip cookies? And I do. But I grew up and you growed up. And for you to get on bulls at 48, 49 in the PRCA at the Prairie Circuit Finals, it's just amazing to me. I mean, I tip my hat to you for that. It says a lot about who you are and the work that you put into it. And I know you've never been a great big person, but I also know you put in work to stay in shape.
Oh, yeah. You know? There 1 year, I guess when I rode in the World Senior PBR deal, I logged how many miles I ran that year to keep my lungs in shape and to stay in shape. And I went to the gym pretty much every day that I was home. But I ran this, I think it's 945 miles is how far I ran that year just to stay in shape.
Wow. Yeah.
We do have one other question. What's the most valuable lesson you've learned from each other?
Don't order a tuna fish milkshake at the drive-thru.
I don't know. It's funny.
Mom of one of the junior guys coming up.
I think find somebody to travel with that you have confidence in, and he has confidence in you.
Yeah,
believe in each other,
and you'll believe in each other. Like I drew a bull at Ken Lance's there in Ada, hometown rodeo. I knew the stands would be packed, and I drew an NFR bull called Saturday Night Live, and I had a little, and I knew when I called to get stock, I knew I would have that bull.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Ricky Lindsay had him two nights before that, and he just won Cheyenne. He bucked Ricky off. And David had all kind of confidence in me that I was going to ride. And as the night went on and bull riding's last event, and I'm getting in the chute, and it was just like a, he's not going to butt me off.
No.
David knows I'm going to ride him, so I got
right.
to ride him.
Yes.
And I rode him and wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
But find somebody that's got confidence in you. Stay away from the dream killers. They're just, the dream killers are the people that couldn't do it when they tried to do it, so they don't want to see no one else succeed.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's cool, though, like when you're and your daughter on the horses and she tells you that, hey, you better do it at 48 instead of 68 because she knows that if you want to do it at 68, you're going to still try it.
Yeah, probably so.
She knows you well enough to know that, and I thought that was a pretty cool statement right there. Hey, if you're going to do it, try it at 48 instead of 68.
Well, there's always been nothing but respect for you, and again, we had a ball rodeoing together. I remember, I think we was leaving Dodge City, a bull riding there, and Tuff and all them boys were in front, and Tuff had the bus, and they had it weighted down the back, and it was kind of running like this, you know, like that. The back end was just heavy. And Marty said, well, Tuff must have got a full tank of gas.
I think that was tied, just got in the van with him and was starting to rodeo.
But finding somebody that you believe each other in. You ain't just bullshitting each other, you know. We've all had to catch a ride, but me and Marty were consistent, and we consistently won because we both were consistent with each other.
You enjoyed each other's success.
We had it's just like Lane and Tuff. I mean, there was no question, no doubt. There was, you know.
Oh, yeah. You knew the day money wasn't going to be much when we were there.
That's right. Yep. So, but all right. Well, we'll guys, if y'all have any questions for Marty, contact Holly or send us a Facebook message. And if you send it to me, I'm more than likely just going to forward it to Holly. So contact her. And thank y'all for listening. And this is Think Rank. I have a YouTube show. It's David Berry Monster Bull. Go to my YouTube channel. Check it out. Subscribe if you don't care. We put shows out there, rodeo ranching shows, bull run shows. It's pretty cool stuff, too, there. And go to my website, monsterbull.com. Keep up with mostly what everything we're doing there. Marty, man, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just another legend in the seat next to me. I'm humbled. I'm very humbled. Anytime you are back up this way, stop in.
Okay. So I'll do it. And be sure that everybody out there, just remember that the opportunity of a lifetime is only good for the lifetime of the opportunity. So don't waste it.
That's right. Well, great advice. Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. All right, guys. Until next time, I'm David Berry. This is Think Rank.